Okay, good evening, everybody. Tonight's shiur, we're going to discuss a little bit about chametz. As we know, we're shloshim yom kadam hachag. It's time to talk about chametz, and what we're going to discuss is whether chametz is considered isura bala or whether chametz is considered hetera bala. We know a couple of months ago we had a couple of shiurim about hagala, about kashering, and this is a offshoot of that sugya, but really it's a very important thing to be aware of. It's not the typical shiur that we generally have, not so much halacha oriented, it's more just giving a appreciation of this shaila that the Rishonim have, whether chametz is called isura bala or chametz is called hetera bala, which makes a tremendous nafkamina lalacha. So let's, the first 40 minutes of the shiur are going to be the background. In the last 10 minutes, often is the case, the last 10 minutes it will become easy to understand exactly what the issue is over here, whether chametz should be considered hetera bala or isura bala. So you'll understand when we get into it. Okay? You'll understand when we get into it. So let's begin like this. We have a pasuk in Parshas Tzav, where the pasuk tells us all the halachos. In Parshas Vayikra and Tzav, we're told all the halachos of kachim, of karbanos. So in the beginning of Parshas Tzav, we're told, Uchol klicheres, it got messed up a little bit on the printing, I'm not sure what happened. Uklicheres asher tevasho bo yishaveru. When you have a karban chatos, so the Gemara says you have to shech the karban chatos, you have to do the zrika, you have to do everything. That's what the parsha says, and then after, you have to go ahead and cook parts of the karban chatos, right? Karban chatos is not all burnt on the mizbeach, only karban olah is burnt on the mizbeach. So you, over here you have a karban chatos, which you eat. So you eat the karban chatos. How are you supposed to eat it? You can't eat it raw. It says, l'mashcha l'gdula, you have to eat the karbanos in a way which is like malachim, k'derech shamalachim ochim, the way a melech would eat. So over here it says, after you go ahead and you cook it in a pot, so now what do I do with that pot? Says the pasuk, if I cooked it in a klicheres, in an earthenware pot, yishaver, that pot has to be smashed after I'm finished using it. V'im meklinechoshes bushala, let's say I cooked it in a metal pot, umorak ushutaf b'mayim, then I have to take it and do mariko ushtifa b'mayim. So what is this din of mariko ushtifa? That's what we're going to look into tonight. We have a din over here, after you cook a karban chatas in a pot, you have to do mariko ushtifa. The Gemara in Zvachim Tzadihei learns out, not only do you have to do that after you cook a karban chatos, but that also applies after you cook any karban. You have to do mariko shtifa on the pot. So what exactly is this halacha mariko shtifa? We'll see in a couple of minutes. Rabbi Yochanan Fishel Perlau, on his biurim to the Rabbi Sadia Gaon Sefer HaMitzvos, writes that all of this is considered part of one mitzvah. You don't say, oh, one mitzvah is if you have a klicheres, you should break the klicheres. One mitzvah is if you cook in a clean achoshes, you have to do mariko shtifa. No, it's all part of one mitzvah. What is that one mitzvah? That anything that comes in contact with the karban chatas as it's being prepared to be eaten must be kashered. So either if it means that you use a kli cheres to do that preparatory stage, then you have to break the kli cheres. If you use a clean achoshes, then you have to go ahead, any other metal item, you have to go ahead and kasher with mariko shtifa. If the Gemara says, let's say it's some of the blood from the animal as I'm going ahead and preparing it to be eaten, some of the blood comes and spills on my shirt, so I have to go v'chibas begadav v'mayim, I have to go ahead and clean off my clothing in makom kadosh, in the azara, because that too, says Rabbi Yochanan Perlau, is a part of this heading which is called the mitzvah of mariko shtifa. So that's what Rabbi Yochanan Fishel Perlau suggests. Now the Elia Rabbah writes, why is it that generally in a normal year Parshas Tzav is always read before Pesach? Why is that the case? So the Elia Rabbah writes in the name of the Avodram, the reason why is because, number one, on Pesach we have a halacha, you're supposed to do Hagalas Kelim, you're supposed to kasher all your Kelim in the house in order to make sure that you have what to use on the Yom Tov of Pesach. So it says the Elia Rabbah, B'Shem L'Avodram, many of the halachas of Hagalah are learned out from this mitzvah Mariko Shtifa, as we'll see, and therefore we hold that this is the reason why Parshas Tzav is often laid right before we have the Yom Tov of Pesach. In fact, the Rambam writes, interestingly, the Rambam writes, if you ever went, I don't know, do they have here a kashering center? In Washington Heights, we have a, what? In Tag. So what do they do by the kashering center? Let's say I bring in my Kiddush cup. So my Kiddush cup doesn't really need to be kashered. It never really became chametz, but we have the minig, we kasher everything that we're going to use on Pesach, we bring it into kasher. So what do? Bring in the Kiddush cup to kasher it, and they don't only stick it into boiling hot water. After the hot water, what do? Put it in cold water. What's the cold water for?
Cool it off.
It's not to cool it off, right?
They say cold.
Oh, so what's it all about? So really, that's based off of the din of mariko shtifa. Mariko means bechamin, shtifa means betzonin. So you have to do both mariko shtifa. So we pattern off that, says the Rambam, the halacha of Hagala, that you have to, number one, put the kiddush cup into hot water to kasher it, and then after you're done with the hot water, you put it into cold water in order that it should be patterned off the halacha of mariko shtifa. Interesting to note as well that the Shulchan Aruch says before a person takes a koshal bracha for benching, let's say, for those who have the minig to bench ala kos, the Shulchan Aruch says you should go ahead and really wash it inside and out, the same way you would wash, like Mariko Shtifa says, the same way that you would generally wash out the kelim, the klicheres, the kelim that were used to be involved with the kachim, so too, says the Shulchan Aruch, it's an inyan of kavod to go ahead and wash out the cup before and after, inside and outside before you use it for the Birchas HaMazon. So that's not so difficult. The problem is Leil HaSeder, when you have Dalet Kosos and you're drinking four cups of wine, so Rav Kook writes in one of his tshuvas that his father-in-law, the Aderis, pointed out that you also have to be careful to do it then. Now, this is something people don't realize. Sometimes you have women at the table. I don't know, men, I think, most of the time when they have a cup of wine, they drink the whole thing. But women, sometimes, they don't drink the whole thing. So you drink a part of it, and you think that's enough. So number one, two problems with that. Number one, Leil HaSeder, we assume Ruba Kakula is only a din b'di'evit. The Chatchila, we learned this from a Gemara in Chulin, the Chatchila we assume that Rov is not good enough. The Chatchila we hold that you have to do the whole thing. When the Torah says you should do a shear of something, it means you should do the whole thing. B'di'evit, we say if you only did Rov of it, that's good enough. How do you know that? The Gemara says, Hashochet Rov Simanim. When I'm doing a shechita, so I have to shecht the Kana and the Vesha, the two pipes. What if I shecht three quarters? I don't shecht the whole thing. I only shecht most of the two pipes. Says the Gemara, b'di'evit, it's good enough. So the Acharonim say, you see from there, that whenever we have the halacha of Ruba Kukulo, means only b'di'evet are yotzei mitzvah. Really, l'chatchila, the best way to do it is to go ahead and drink the whole thing. So Leil Seder, what are you supposed to do? L'chatchila, obviously only if a person's healthy enough, but l'chatchila, a person should not just drink rova the kos, a person should try to drink the whole kos. But very often you have people who don't drink the whole kos. Let's say they can't handle the wine, they can't do it, so they just drink a little bit, or they drink rova the kos. So now they have a little bit left over. So you say, it's a chaval. Why should we waste the wine? I may as well go ahead for the next cup, just pour in a little extra wine. Well, not so push it, because then you're not going to be able to wash out your cup before you do the next of the Dalet Kosos. Now, we know the Shulchan Aruch says by Birchas HaMazon, you're supposed to wash out the cup before you do it, out of kavod to the bracha, to show that you're being mechabed the kosher bracha, that you go and you wash it out inside and out. So over here also, by Leil HaSeder, really we should be careful that we should go ahead in between each cup. You should take the cup into the chin, you should wash it off inside and out in order to be mechabed the kosher bracha. And only then should you go ahead and fill it up with new wine in order to be mekayim your mitzvah of Dalet Kosos Behidr. So this is...
Do you do that?
We do it, yeah.
Who does? I've never seen anybody do that.
Okay, I don't know how many I don't know how many seders you've been to.
I've never seen a lot.
How many? A lot, where?
Yeah.
Okay.
Nobody has ever done that.
Okay.
We do it all the time, not just by Birchas HaMazon, by Kiddush. Every time
no,
we do
so why is Birchas So why is Leil HaSeder different?
Because... It's not done. You do it the first time.
So that's the shadow. Why not? Each one is a kosher bracha. You make a separate bar priya gofen.
That's a big chiddush.
That's what you're here for.
Okay, that's good. Chiddush is good.
You ever see that?
That's what we're here for.
You ever see it? You ever do it?
Okay. You don't want to do it, it's fine. I'm just pointing out.
Never done it. Never seen it. So, that's
so
it.
You don't have to. It's fine.
This clean chosh is here.
Yeah.
By the korban.
So, yeah.
So what's the problem? That pot, whatever you're cooking, that meat.
So we're going to get...
It's
not treif.
First of all, it's not treif.
Right.
Number two, you're not using it to cook in your house tomorrow.
So everyone here, this is the million-dollar question.
It's being used in the Beis HaMikdash tomorrow.
So that's the million-dollar question. So why do I need a kasher? What's the problem? I do make a treif, so that's the major question we're going to deal with. So we'll see.
Other?
We'll see in a couple of minutes. Machlok is the Rambam and the Ravid. We'll get to it. That's a major shaila that we need to deal with, which is really going to shed light on the question of chametz, whether chametz is called heter or chametz is called iser. So let's go me'akal ala kavod. Number one, Rabbeinu Bechaya writes a very interesting insight, which many of us may not be aware of, and that's why I put it on here. The pasuk first says, just parenthetically, the pasuk says, "Uklicheres asher tevushal bo yishaver." If let's say I cook my carbon chatos in a klicheres, I have to go ahead and smash it. So what happens? So you have a whole Beis HaMikdash is full of broken kalim all over the place. How could it be? How can you have such a thing? Zok Rabbeinu Bechaya really quoting the Gemara in Yuma Daf Chaf Aleph. Let's see what he says. Says the Gemara, a nace happened, a miracle happened. Because what would happen otherwise? Imagine if you had to go and smash every klicheres that you used whenever you cook a carbon chatas, so you're going to have broken pieces of glass all over the floor. So says the Gemara, a nace, a miracle happened, and all of the shivrei klicheres, all the broken parts, all the particles of these earthenware kalim that were smashed all over the floor, nivlam bekarka hazara, they got miraculously swallowed up into the ground. Shim lokein haisa azara kulam is malach harasim. Because otherwise, how can you walk around? Befrat, you have kohanim walking around barefoot, no one's wearing any shoes, any socks. What's going to be? They're going to cut their feet, you're going to have a mess in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, v'hayazem yudches nisim shanasa b'migdash. This is one of the 18 miracles that happened daily in the Beis HaMikdash. Ve'eluhen. What were the 18? Anyone have a problem? 18 miracles happened in the Beis HaMikdash? Pirkei Avos says 10. So that's what Rabbeinu Bechai is going to address. Pirkei Avos says, Asar Nisim Nasal Avosein HaMikdash. There were 10 miracles. Over here the Gemara says 18, so let's see what it says. Ve'eluhen. What were the 18 miracles? Number 1. Lo hipila isha me'reach b'sar ha'hekdash me'olam. Sometimes you have a woman when she's pregnant. She has cravings or in the opposite direction, I don't know what you call it. She can't handle certain smells. She can't handle certain tastes. So over here, what's going to happen? You have a woman comes to the Beis HaMikdash to bring her carbon. She's not going to be able to handle the smell. It's probably a little foul sometimes. Terrible, right? You have shecht and carbonus all over the place. You have blood dripping all over. Still, the Gemara says, Lo hipila isha me'reach b'sar ha'hekdash. It never happened that a woman had a problem because of the hektish, because of the carbonas that were going on in the Beis HaMikdash. V'lo asriach b'sar hektish mi'olam. And you would think, they didn't have refrigerators there, so you have animals all over the place, you have shechita going on, you have zrika happening everywhere. Still, v'lo asriach b'sar hektish mi'olam, they never had a problem that meat got spoiled in the Beis HaMikdash. V'lo ira kerili karen gadol b'yom ha'kippurim. The Gemara in the beginning of Yuma has a whole process, a whole system that they did for the karen gadol before Yom Kippur. They never had an issue. V'lo nira zvub b'beis ha'mitbachayim, there were never any flies flying around the meat. You think about it. The Beis HaMikdash did not have a roof over most of it. So how could it be? It does rain once in a while in Eretz Yisrael, so how could it be? Why doesn't the rain put out the fire on the Mizbeach? It was a miracle, says the Gemara. Even when it rained, it didn't put out the fire on top of the Mizbeach. There was a pillar of smoke. They used to go up to show that there was Hashras Hashchina. So even though it was windy outside, the smoke never was pushed away by the wind. Kolomar, Ashan Isha Shal Hadyot. Okay, so you keep going. Shalvi Sheish Yodam Hashemayim Mitzvah Lav Min Hadyot. Okay, so you skip a little bit more. So let's see. So you see where it says Avos Hey Zayin. Skip down a couple of lines. So we have in Pirkei Avos, we're only told that there are Asar Nisim. Everyone with me? However, the Gemara here says there are 8 more, 18. Nisharu Shmona. So what are those extra 8? So if you just learned the Pirkei Avos, you only know about 10 of them. Now all of a sudden, we're introduced to another 8. What were those? Eluhem, here we go, says Rabbeinu Bechaya. Kelim Shalcheresh and Izbashama Machata Swayacharasim Nivlam Bekarka. Number 1. When they would cook in these pots of klicheres, and then they would smash the crystal pots all over the floor, so the ground miraculously swallowed them up in order that it shouldn't be a mess, in order that no one should get hurt. Mizbach ha'ola asher alav eish ha'tamed ha'yam of tzupa nechoshes. What an incredible miracle! The mizbach ha'ola, which was only coated with gold on top, copper on top, ka'ovi dinar, wasn't so thick. It's not like it had a big layer of copper on top. It was ka'ovi dinar, was like a coin, a thin sheet of metal. And the rest of the substance that made up the Mizbeach was wood, cedar wood. An incredible miracle that there was always a fire on the Mizbeach, yet the Mizbeach HaNechoshes did not burn from it. I would have thought that after so many years of using the fire on the Mizbeach, it probably would cause either the Nechoshes to corrode, or it would cause the wood just to be so hot it would combust, it would blow up. Still, that never happened. Neiros HaMaracha. There was always the right amount of oil in the menorah. The wicks in the oil never went out before they were supposed to. Tremendous miracles. Okay, so he says this is all the different miracles that we have, but I just thought it was interesting to note that the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, in fact, tells us there were only Asar Nisim. Then you look at this Gemara in Yuma Daf Chaf Aleph, the Gemara introduces us to a whole another set of miracles that happened daily in the Beis HaMikdash. It wasn't just limited to those 10. So be it as it may, we have a pasuk over here, which tells us that after you cook a carbon chatos in a pot, you have to go ahead and kasher that pot either through Mariko Shtifa, or you need to go ahead and break the pot if it was a klicher. So this is what the Gemara tells us. In fact, the Panim Yafas has a beautiful kasher that I saw. Panim Yafas asks, why is it that we don't assume that the Lechem HaPanim, which was put onto the Shulchan, should require also Mariko Shtifa every week? So what kind of question is that? What's wrong with the question? Huh? Oh! Lechem HaPanim you eat, it's true. The carbon chattis you also eat. Right? But if you... So you're baking it, but still it gets hot. So he says, so why not... Says the Panim Yafas, why shouldn't you have to kasher the lechem? I'm sorry, the shulchan, after you put the lechem upon him on it, So I would have said that what? It's Yavesh. It doesn't get any... The Lechem HaPanim wasn't burning hot when he put it into the Shulchan. So it doesn't really get any blias from the Lechem HaPanim. So here says the Panim Yafis a very interesting chiddush. The Panim Yafis writes that the Radvaz has a kasha. The Gemara says in Chagiga, when all of Klal Yisrael came up to be Ola Regel, they used to pick up the Lechem HaPanim and show, Ruchi Baschem Lefnei HaMakom. Look how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves you that the Lechem HaPanim is fresh. How do you show that to people? So says the Radvaz, quoting a Ritva, how do you show people that the Lechem HaPanim is fresh? Smoke was coming up from the Lechem HaPanim as if it just came out of the oven. Says the Radvaz, says the Panim Yafis, what you see is, at the time that the Lechem HaPanim was put onto the Shulchan, it's not that it was dry and it was cooled off already. No, it was burning hot! And that's why the Radvaz says, B'shem the Ritva, at the time that everyone came to be Ola Regel, they used to take it out and show everyone, look, it's smoking. No, ask the Panim Yafis, if really it was smoking, then he should have to go ahead and kasher the Lechem HaPanim, I'm sorry, the Shulchan, the same way you have to go ahead and kasher all the kedem that have blias from the various karbanos that you cook in them. Okay, interesting question.
But you only use it for Lechem HaPanim again. You're not using it for something else.
So that's a question. So what's the whole crux? Why do we need Mariki Shtif in the first place? That's basically what you're asking.
Well, for here, on the same idea. No, but on the korban, I can understand because you may cook a different korban.
So what happens? Let's say I'm not going to cook this. Right.
No, but it's from different people.
So let's say I'm not going to cook anything else.
Different person. Each korban has its
Take for example.
Identity.
Let's say I have this pot. I put a sticker on it. No one should ever use this again. Do I have to do Mariko Shtifa? Yes. Why do I have to do Mariko Shtifa? I'm never going to use it again. So the Briskerov has this kasha. The Briskerov points out. You see from here that it's not because there's a bli of an iser. We'll see in a minute exactly how to answer this question. Says the Kli Yakar on that pasuk, Zuck the Kli Yakar, beautiful insight. Kli Yakar writes on this mitzvah, Mariko Shtifa, he says, Pirish Rashi, Hu Adin L'chol HaKodshim. Rashi is quoting Gemara in Zvachim Daf Tzadihei, where the Gemara says, even though we're told the halacha, Mariko Shtifa is only explicitly said by the Karban Chatas, yet, says Rashi, the Gemara learns from the Karban Chatas to all other Karbanos that the same din would apply. If you cook any of the other Karbanos in a pot, you have to go ahead and to hechsher on that pot after you're done. Mikal makom hadavar tzarich bir, says the Kli Yakar, it still needs to be understood. Lama kasva haTorah dinze dafka gabei chatas habalach hapar. Yes, you're right. The Gemara laid out that Mariku Shtifa is not only a din in karban chatas; it's a din in all the karbanos. That after you cook any of the karbanos in a pot, you have to go ahead and kasher the pot. But why should it be written specifically about karban chatas? It should be by everything, says the Kli Yakar. The pashup shat is as follows. Says the Kli Yakar, the simple understanding to this question will be, the Torah tells us that a Kli Cheres can never become kashered. Why? Because a Kli Cheres, we assume that the blias goes so far deeply into the Dofne Akadera, into the pot, that it can no longer come out. The Sokadai the Chamina would have said, I would have thought maybe the only one that needs kashering is by kachim kalim, which is eaten for 2 days, shahamaychal misake b'kaderas man rav. So when you have a carbon which is sitting in a pot for 2.5 days, so then you need a kasher because the pot really got some of the blias from the food which was in it. Aval, however, he says, kachim shen nachalim kiim the yom echav. When I have kachim, which is only eaten for 1 day, so I would think maybe that doesn't need Mariko Shtifa. So for example, I have a carbon chatas, which you only eat for 1 day. So how much of the carbon chatas blia could have actually gotten into the pot? Not so much. Says the Kli Yakar, I would have a havamina that you don't have to do Mariko Shtifa by a carbon chatas. Therefore, the Torah goes out of its way and says, no, you have to go ahead and do Mariko Shtifa not only by a carbon kache kalim, but even by kache kach, which is only nechali yomech. That's what the Kli Yakar says. Okay. Says the Kli Yakar, but here's a beautiful pshat in the Kli Yakar. Kli Yakar goes a little bit into a drush, but it's a beautiful insight. Zakla Kli Yakar about Sad HaRemez Karav L'Shmoa. Says the Kli Yakar, you want to hear another reason why? Perhaps you can suggest an alternate reason why the Torah decided to write the whole parsha of Mariko Shtifa dafka by the Karban Chatas and not by the other Karbanas. Shetaras HaKelem Yeshlehem Dimi on the Taras HaChote HaMakrav Chatas. Says the Kli Yakar, because we're supposed to learn from here to make a connection between the way we do tshuva, taras hachote, is similar to that of taras hakelim. Ki kemosha hakelim yesh mehem shabolim harbim min ha'isir. Even though you have some kelim, which really get seeped in from the karban chatas, like the kli cheres, the blias goes so far into the kli cheres that you can't take it out, and the only way to get rid of it is Einam takana kiyim b'shvira. The only way to get rid of a blia that seeps into a carbon, into a kli cheres, is by smashing the kli. Yesh mehem. On the other hand, you have other kelim. She'enim bolam harbi mina iser v'yesh lam takana b'shtifa. You have other kelim like a kli nechoshes, like other metal kelim, where you can just kasher it because the blia doesn't go so far into the kli. It's good enough just to do a hagala on it. Kach yesh ha'adam, says the kli yakra, so too you have certain personalities who do a chet. How much geshmak do we get when we do an aveira? How much does it seep into who we are? So sometimes you have an urge to do an aveira, you do that aveira, you move on with life. It doesn't define who you are. However, he says, v'kashalo lazavar hergel, sometimes you have a person who does an aveira, and he gets so involved in this aveira, it becomes a part of you, it becomes your essence. V'ein lo takanan, the only way to do tshuva on such an aveira is, ki mishviras libo, you have to break yourself. Kihu aklishan is bashabaha iser, because our minds, our hearts, are what push us to do the thing wrong. You have other personalities who do an aveira, and they don't get so involved in the aveira. Yes, they made a mistake, they fell in, but they move on, and they don't allow it to redefine who they really are. Kederach shamar chazal, my takantu shal masaper lashon hara. The Gemara is a strange statement in Erech and Daf Tezvav. What do we do for a person who talks lashon hara? What's his kapara? How do you get around that? Im talmud chacham, who says the Gemara? If you're a talmud chacham and you speak lashon hara, says the Gemara, yasek pitora. Shenemar marpe lashon etz chaim. Vim amaretz, who says the Gemara? There's a different set of rules of tshuva. If you're a talmud chacham, there's one tshuva. If you're an amaretz, there's a different tshuva. How can that be? What do you mean? How can that be? It doesn't make any sense. How can you say that there's one mahalach of tshuva for this kind of person doesn't have avera, another machem tshuva for someone else? What do you mean? You both did the same avera. You both spoke the same lashon hara about the same person. You both had the same intention. So how could it be? So says the Kli Yakra, you see from here that there's a difference in perspective in the way you do an avera. Yes, you may have spoken the same lashon hara. You may have had the same bad intention. However, sometimes you have a person who allows the avera to redefine who he is. You get so steeped into the avera that you allow that to take you over. And therefore, the only way to get out of it, the only way to do tshuva on such a thing, is to break yourself, to totally reinvigorate who you are and decide that I'm no longer that Baal Lashon Hara. You have other people who it's easier for them to do tshuva. And he says, this is why the Torah specifically writes the pasuk of Mariko Shtifa. This very particular mitzvah is written specifically by Karban Chatas, because it's coming to teach us that the same applies by tshuva. The same we find by the Kalim of the Karban Chatas, that some kelim have to be broken and some kelim could just have hagala, could just have kashering. So too, when it comes to tshuva process, some kelim, so to speak, some people, some hearts that do an aveira are good enough if they just do a little bit of tshuva, and other people need to completely retransform themselves and make themselves into a whole new entity to make themselves show that they are shviras halev, that they're no longer connected with that aveira that they did, and they have to restart everything that they do in their life. So this is basically what the Kli Yakra writes. You can finish reading it on your own. However, we're now left to understand the question that was just asked. What exactly is this mitzvah Mariko Shtifa? What does it mean? How do we define what the mitzvah is? And what's the point? What's the purpose of this mitzvah? So this gets into a very important machlokes, the Rambam and the Ravi. Let's look at number Dalet together. And from here is going to be a very yesodistic halacha. Says the Rambam, Hilchos Maaser HaKarbanos, Perek Ches Halacha Yudalet. The Rambam writes, "V'lo b'chatos b'lvad." Says the Rambam, quoting Gemara in Zvachim, Tafsari Hei, even though the pasuk only says the mitzvah mariku shtifa by the carbon chatos, says the Rambam, no, don't make a mistake. Lo b'chatos b'lvad. This doesn't only apply to a carbon chatos. Ela kol hakelim shemishtam shemem b'kachim. Any vessels, any kelim that I use to cook the kachim, the meat, ayudei chamin. Bein kachim kachim, bein kachim kalim. Whether it's a carbon chatos or a carbon shlamim, doesn't matter. Tuunim mariko shtifa, ekev achila. What does that mean? Ekev achila? Ekev means before, it means after. Can mean either, right? So that's a point that the Ravid is picking up on. What does it mean, ekev achila? What does the Rambam mean? So the Rambam means to say, you have to do the kashering before the Zman Achila is over. Keep that in mind. V'chein hashpud. The same goes if I have a pitchfork and I go and I barbecue the meat in order to eat it. I have to go ahead and kasher that. V'ha'asa. Magilin ekev achila. V'einam anichem ad Zman Achila hashniya. Ela kishayash the miyachol. Right after you finish eating, Yagil hashvud v'ha'askelov v'yimrok v'yishutav hakol. Ben kli matechas, ben kli cheres, chutz menachata shu shover ba kli cheres. Wow. So the Rambam has two chidushim here. Chidush number one, says the Rambam, is when you do the mitzvah mariko shtifa, it has to be done before the zman achila is over. Oh, so we'll see in a minute. So it has to be before the zman achila is over. What happens after the zman achila is over? Becomes noser. So if I have meat left over, that becomes noser. You have to burn it. But if I have a bli in a pot, it becomes noser. So the Rambam seems to say yes. The same way, if I cook in a pot basar b'chalav, right? I cook basar b'chalav in a pot. So take for example. Let's say I have basar b'chalav. I cook basar b'chalav in a pot by mistake. I didn't do it on purpose. So not only do I say I have to throw it out, but also the pot becomes treif. Why? Because the blias in the pot were taken from that which I cooked inside of the pot, and now not only is the food treif, but the blias inside of the pot are also treif. Now what happens if I go and I cook a chicken soup afterward in this pot? So the blias are going to come out and make the chicken soup basar b'chalav. It's going to keep happening over and over again until I kasher the pot and get rid of it. Therefore, says the Rambam, you have to make sure that before this pot becomes noser, because it has the blias of the kachim that I cooked in it, so before this zman achila is over, before it becomes noser, I have to go ahead and kasher the pot. That's what the Rambam says. That's chiddush number one. Chiddush number two that the Rambam says is, when it comes even to a kli cheres, says the Rambam, let's say I cook basar b'chalav in a kli cheres in my house. I have an earthenware pot, it happens every so often, right? You have women use earthenware pots sometimes, and you cook basar b'chalav mamish in an earthenware pot. What do?
Break it.
Break it. Why do you have to break it?
Can't be kashered.
Throw it out. Right? Can't be kashered. Why can't it be kashered? Because we assume that you won't be able to get the blias out of a kli cheres the same way you're able to get it out of a metal pot. Okay, that's the halacha. Says the Rambam, well, not so fast. When it comes to the din mariko shtifa by cooking kachim in a pot, it depends. We have, by carbon chatas, the Torah has exeris hakosuv, that if you cook a carbon chatas in a kli cheres, you have to go ahead and smash the kli cheres after you're done. But forget about carbon chatas for now. What about all the other karbanos? What if I cook a carbon shlamim in a kli cheres? So now I'm going ahead and I want to do mariko shtifa on the kli cheres. Says the Rambam, it works. You can do hagala on a kli cheres. Why? How can you do hagala on a kli cheres? We know, we all know. The halacha is, if you cook basar b'chalav in your house in a kli cheres, you got to throw the pot out. You can't kasher it. So how does the Rambam say over here that when it comes to cooking in a kli cheres, if you cook kachim in a kli cheres, you're able to kasher it, you don't have to break it. How can it be? Oh, so we'll see in a minute. Rab Chaim's going to say, if the Rambam l'shitas, we'll see in a minute. So the Ravid disagrees.
There's no noiser by Kodosman.
There is. So let's see. So if you'll be medayik in the Rambam, you'll see in a minute exactly what we're saying. But let's look at the Ravid for a minute. Says the Ravid, Tuuna mariko shtihya ekev achila. Omer Avram, lo yadati ma'u ekev achila. Where's the Rambam make up such a lashon? Ekev achila, you have to do the kashering. Ekev achila means before the achila, after the achila. V'haya ekev tishmun. What does it mean? So the Ravid says, I don't understand what he means. Avol kacham rechachamim. Now the Ravid says, I don't know what the Rambam's saying, but I'll tell you what I think. Shemamtin kol zman achila, says the Ravid, I disagree with the Rambam. I don't really know what he means, but I disagree with him anyway. Shemamtin kol zman achila. I, says the Ravid, what do you have to do? I believe you have to wait until the zman achila is over. I have to wait till the pot becomes treif, till the pot becomes noser. Only now can I go ahead and kasher the pot. Let's say I have a pot in my house which is not treif at all, and I want to kasher it. So you come to the rabbi, you say, how do I kasher a kasher a pot? What kind of question is that? You can't kasher a kasher a pot. It's kosher.
There's no reason to.
It doesn't mean anything. It's kosher anyway. Yeah. Even if you're going to kasher, it's going to stay kosher. Says the Ravid. What's the Rambam talking about? You have to do mariko shtifa before it becomes noser? What are you kashering? It's kosher pot. There's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, but you see that also. You don't want to let something become noser either. If he holds that the blia is noser, you don't let something become noser either.
Oh, so that's what the Rambam holds. But the Ravid says, but then the kashering doesn't mean anything. Says the Ravid. What do you mean? How can you do kashering on a kosher pot? So you're getting to the brisker rub. So says the Brisker Rav, what you see from here is that the din mariko shtifa is not to kasher the pot.
Right.
The pot is not treif. The din mariko shtifa is to get the blias out of the pot. Right. Nothing to do with being treif. That's which is touching on what you were saying. Has to be. And the Ravid says, no, the din mariko shtifa is the same din of hagala. It's the same din of kashering. So you can't kasher a kosher a pot. You have to make sure that the pot first becomes treif. You have to wait till after it becomes noser, till after this manachila has set in, has finished. And now, says the Ravid, now you're going to go ahead and kasher the pot, the same way you would kasher a treif a pot. You can't kasher a kosher pot. So that's what the Ravid says.
It doesn't really matter if you're kashering or not kashering. The fact is that bliya shtifa, whatever you call it, is a way to get the stuff out of where it is.
Right.
What purpose? It doesn't matter. It could be to kasher or it could be to prevent.
So it does matter. It does matter because the Rambam says.
It's not a theory.
Now the Rambam says the reason you're doing it is to prevent it from becoming noser.
Yes.
So therefore you have to make sure to do it before this zman achila is over.
Yes.
The Ravid says no. The point is to kasher the kli. So after Rambam's noser, then you go and you kasher it.
But the bottom line, the shtifa and the
marika,
it's to get the substance out of the wall.
Correct. The question is why.
Whatever reason
will make an afkamina when you do it.
You gotta get it out for either you want to kasher it. To take out the treif out of the pot, or you want to prevent the nosar.
So says the Ravid, if the point is to kasher it, so you have to wait till it becomes treif in order to be able to kasher it.
I agree.
So that's where it makes a difference.
The timing.
All right, okay.
If you're in the patas, right, and you're leaving it there, and the next time you go ahead and it's laying around, and you go cook a shlomim in it, you've got a big problem.
Correct.
Right? Because that shlomim is going to become nosar because he had the patas.
Correct.
That's why the Rambam wants you to get rid of it.
Okay, good. Correct. That's right.
That's the point of it.
Now, that's correct.
If it's more than 24 hours, so why doesn't the din of nosing panel now set in?
So that's a major, major question. The Rishonim deal with that question.
Because you have certain korbanos that are a day and night and a day.
Not only that, the Gemara says, and we won't get into it now, but the Gemara says that some believe that Linus Lila's already pogame. So every carbon has a Lila, so that's a major kasher. We won't get into it now, but the Ravid disagrees with the Rambam on 2 points. Number one, says the Ravid, I don't agree with the Rambam on the timing of when you're supposed to do the Mariko Shtifa. Number two, says the Ravid, I don't agree with the Rambam on the fact that he says that a Kli Cheres, you can go and do kashering. How can you kasher a Kli Cheres? You're never able to kasher a Kli Cheres.
According to the Ravid, what's the Aveira if you do it before? What's the big deal?
According to the Ravid?
Yes.
The Ravid says it doesn't mean anything. It's the same way. What do you mean? You come into your rabbi.
You're preventing a pot from becoming treif.
The Ravid says, you come to the rabbi and you ask him.
You're preventing it from becoming treif.
You ask the Ravid. Come into your rabbi and ask him a shaila.
So why is the pot treif afterwards?
The Rambam holds it. Who says the Ravid holds it?
No.
Yeah, that's.
Who says? We don't know that.
This is the question.
We don't know that.
Well, why is it?
We don't know that.
So let's see.
Don't we have to show
him that holds it? What's the problem?
Don't we have to show him that hold that it's owned by Kachim, that halacha?
Which halacha?
The halacha of the Kacharis.
Okay.
Klicharis
is not leather way. Okay. So now let's try. So let's just try to explain what is going on here with the machlokes, the Rambam and the Ravid. What's happening here? So in order to appreciate that, we have to look at a sugya in Avodah Zarah. All of this is a hakdama just to appreciate the shaila of the Rishonim by Chametz, and we'll get there. But let's first see. It's a geshmaka sugya. So let's see, the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah Daf Ayin Hey, look at the Mishnah, that's number Hey. Mishnah says, Halokeach Kli Tash Mishman Ovid Kochavim. Let's say I buy a fork, a spoon, a knife, a cup from a non-Jew. So I have to go ahead and put it in the mikveh. Eshadarka Lahatvil Yatvil, Lahagil Yagil. Sometimes, if the Nachri had used it for trefa food, I have to go ahead and kasher it also. Not only do I have to put it in the mikveh, Vilas Galim, I also have to do Hagalah. Let's say I buy a pitchfork from a nachri, I buy a barbecue grill, so I have to go ahead and kasher it in a more strict way of kashering. Hagala won't be good enough. Hashvud v'ha'askala melabnam ba'ar. Hasak and shafa v'hi tahor. So what happens if I buy a knife from a nanchu? How do I kasher a knife? So I'm going to go ahead and put it in the ground, something like that. I'm able to kasher the knife. Says the Gemara 9 vav amid alef. Tanakh. Hashvud v'ha'askala melabnam ba'ar. It says that if I buy a shvud or an askala, which means a pitchfork or a barbecue grill from a non-Jew, so he had used it on the fire for treifa meat. So how do I kasher it? I have to go ahead and put it in the fire, the same way Kabbalah Kachpoto, the same way the bliya got in on the fire, so it has to come out on the fire. Frakti Gemara v'hatnan, gabi kachim, it says by the din of kachim, hashvud v'haskala magila mechamin. What happens? Let's say I use a barbecue grill to go and barbecue my carbon shlamim. How do I kasher that? How do I do mariko shtifa? Magila mechamin. I'm able to do hagala on it, just with hot water. How can that be? What do you mean? Kabbalah kach polto. If the bliya went in with a barbecue grill, means that there was fire there, so how can I extract it just by using hot water? How is that good enough? Everyone understand the question? No? Yes? So how can that be? Ask the Gemara Kasha. If we know that the underlying principle always is Kabbalah Kach Poto, the same way the Bliya goes in is the way it has to come out, so how can the Gemara tell us over here, when I have a barbecue grill that I barbecued the carbon on, the carbon shlamim, and obviously the Bliya went in through the fire, so the only way to take it out should be through the fire, yet the Gemara says you're able to do it with Hagala. So how can that be good enough? Says the Gemara, Amalei Rav Amram Bari, Ma Inin Kachem Eitzel Gulei Ov Zekachavim. How do you try to make an equation between carbonos, between the barbecue grill that's used for the kachim, and the barbecue grill that's used for the pork in the Nachri's house? It's not similar at all. Says the Gemara, Hacha Hatei Rabala, Hasa Misu Rabala. What does that mean? What does it mean? When the Nachri puts his trefa ham on the barbecue, that's Isser. Right away when I turn the fire on, there's a blea of Isser going into the barbecue grill. Masha Enke by the Kachim, when I go and I put my carbon shlamim onto the grill, it's kosher. Hatei Rabala, nothing's wrong. So says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Sof Sof Ki Kapalit Isur Kapalit. What do you mean? But now I'm going and I'm koshering it 5 days later. And now it has a bliya of Noser. So the Gemara says, okay, we get out of that. Hacha Hatei Rabala, Hachi Isur Rabala. But basically what you see from the Gemara is, what? That there's a difference. Yes, it's true the underlying principle always is Kabbalah Kach Polto, the same way that the bliya went into the pot is the way it has to come out. See, if I cook a trefa soup on the pot, on the fire, I have to go ahead and do Haggadah to take it out, because it happened with water, so I get the bliya out with water. If I did a barbecue, so the bliya went in through a fire, so the only way to take out the bliya is through a fire. However, says the Gemara, if it was Hatei Rabala, let's say by the Kachim, it wasn't an Isser when I did the cooking on the barbecue grill, so then it's good enough to do it with Haggadah. Explains the Ran and Chulin. Why? Why should that be the case? Why should Haggadah be good enough? If we say Kabbalah Kach Polto, so then the Bliya will not come out if all you do is Haggadah. Only way to get the Bliya out, since it went in such a strong way through fire, the only way to get it out should be with fire. So why is it good enough to do Haggadah? What do I care? Hatei Rabala Yisur Rabala. Now at the end of the day, I have to get the Bliya out. The only way to get it out is the same way it went in. Explains the Ran as follows. A little bit of a Chiddush, but the Ran explains like this. The Ran says, because really, if you cook something with Haggadah, you're trying to kasher something. Let's say I take a trefa barbecue grill, right? At a Nachri, I buy a barbecue grill from a Nachri. He barbecued trefa ham on there, totally trefa. So let's say I stick it in boiling hot water. It's not going to kasher it. Says the Ran, it's not really true. It will get out 99% of the blias by putting it in hot water. 1% of the blias is going to stay there. So because of that 1%, you have to make sure that you kasher it through a fire. Kabbalah kapot. Okay? That's why you have to do libun. Really, 99% of the blias would have come out if I just dunk it in hot water. But because of that 1% of trefa ham blias that are in the barbecue, I have to go ahead and kosher it with libun.
You see, you say because of what's left there is buffalo?
What? However, I'm just finishing the sentence. However, says the Ran, when I have Hatei Rabala, for example, the kachim, I barbecue the carbon shlamim, and everything's heter right now. Nothing's trafe. Everything's heter. So when I barbecue the carbon shlamim, and then I go ahead and I dunk, instead of doing leaven, I dunk it into hot water. So now 99% of the blias came out. What's left? 1% of the blias left in the barbecue grill. So what are you going to tell me? Now, time comes. It now becomes no. So you're going to say, oh, there's a 1% left blia in the pot, because all you did was hagala, and that 1% should now become no, sir. Correct? Is this making any sense? So the Ran says you can't be, what does he say? He says you can't create an isser on that one little percent, that nothingness that's in the pot.
It's also if you boil the, if you cook it more, some more will come out. There's no way to measure that it's 90%, 99%,
90%. Okay.
But it's either going to come out, no, or it's not going to come
out. No, so he says it's such an insignificant amount.
How does he say this? From the concept of bottle? Because it's bottle?
No, not bittle. It is basically bittle, but he says more than that. It's more lumdish than that. The Ran says, really what's happening is, if I take a barbecue grill, really the way to kosher it is, 100% koshering would be to put it in the fire. 99% koshering would be to put it in hot water. So now, I put it in hot water. Everything's heter right now, right? It's not noser yet. Everything's heter right now. So I put it in the hot water. 99% of the iser came, 99% of the bliya came out. 1% is left. Now, the time comes, it should become noser. What's left in the pot? 1% of a bliya? So what are you going to say? Oh, now you're going to have a problem. If you use this barbecue grill tomorrow to barbecue something else, oh, there's going to be a bliya, a 1% bliya of carbon shlomim that's going to go into your sandwich. Nah, you can't create a new iser on a 1% bliya that's left. If you have, this is the Ron's Chiddush, he says it's called a tam kalush. It's so insignificant, there's nothing left anymore, it has no mashmas, 1% left, it's nothing. However, says the Ron, let's say it was Isura Bala, let's say it was a Nachri who used it for his ham sandwich, and he went ahead and cooked iser, so since it already has a chaloshem iser on the bliya to begin with, I'm not creating a new iser now. So then he says that 1% tam kalish is already enough to asr the next food that I'm going to cook in the pot as well. Big, that's a big chiddush, but that's the way the Ron explains. You have to say
1%, it's iser also. The other one. The
nosar one. So the Ron says on a tam kalish you can't create a new iser.
Not creating. It became an iser on its own.
You're saying nosar made it into an iser. Just the time.
Yeah.
So he says that's the chiddush of the Ron. That's what he says. It's a tam kalish. That's what he calls it. It's an insignificant amount of bliya.
If you use bitul, then there is a concept. But there's no such thing. There's an iser called mashu, like
right.
Chametz and Pesach.
So chametz is a chiddush.
It could be nothing. It's still a problem.
Chametz is the exception to the rule. Chametz is b'mashu. Chametz is the exception to the rule. Generally, we assume not like that. So take, for example, let's just lesabra ourselves and let's bring it down to earth a little bit. Says the Pischei Tshuva. We generally have the minig. Let's say I have milchik pots and fleishik pots in my house, right? Now I decide, my wife says, you know what? I want the blue pot to be fleishik instead of milchik, so whatever it is. So the minig is, the Magen Avraham says, the minig is we don't switch pots back and forth from milchik to fleishik. Why? Because they're going to get mixed up. It's going to be a problem. However, says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, let's say I'm kashering for Pesach anyway. I want to use my pot that I use during the year. I want to use it for Pesach. So I'm going to the store. I'm going to the place to kasher it anyway for Pesach. So now, says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, once you're kashering it for Pesach, you're also allowed to kasher it to switch from milchik to fleishik. So now the question is, when I go ahead and kasher my barbecue grill for Pesach, can I make it milchik? So the answer is yes, you can. Right? What kind of kashering do you need? This is the suffix of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. What kind of kashering do you need? So let's think about it. Why do you say fire? Oh, Kabbalah Kach Polto. The same way the barbecue put the bliyas in with fire, only way to take it out is through fire. Oh, but there's a problem. I mean, it's not a problem. It's a good thing. The difference is, I didn't cook any iser on the barbecue grill. What did I cook on there? Fleishiks. It's Haterabala. The Gemara, not the Ram, the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah Daf Ayin Vav, this Gemara that we just learned, when you have Hetera Bala, when the whole Bliya went into the barbecue grill and nothing was usher, it was just a fleishik sandwich. There was nothing wrong with what I did. It's just now I want it to become milchiks. So there, the Gemara says, when I have a situation of Hetera Bala, I don't need to do a Libum. I can get the Bliyas out just by doing Hagala alone. That will be sufficient to do the kashering process. That, says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, is where this will make an afkamina. When you're going to kasher your pots anyway for Pesach. And now I decide, you know what? Instead of having the fleishiga barbecue grill, I now want to make it a milchiga barbecue grill. So how do I do the kashering process on that barbecue grill? Do I have to do libun? You'll say, of course I have to do libun. Kabbalah kachpoto. No, says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, maybe not. Because since the whole bliya only went in with hetera bala, there was no iser involved at all. So now we can revert back to this Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Ayin Vav, where the Gemara tells us that when you have hetera bala, you don't need to do a libun, you can do a hagala, because hagala will really take out 99% of the bliyas. Ah, you're going to be left with a 1% bliya of a basar. So it doesn't matter, it's insufficient. So Tom Kalish, you can't create a problem.
Obviously you're not using it for Pesach.
Why?
Why?
Let's say you didn't want to turn it into milchiks.
Yeah.
You just wanted to use it for Pesach.
Yeah.
So what would you have to do?
Also.
How do you kasher it for Pesach?
Hot water.
Also, you can... Oh, it's a good. No, that's a good question. He's right. No, it's a very good question. That's our very next point. Our very next point is, but before we get there, let me just turn back.
If you do it from Bosa to Cholov, you don't have to do it, so why should you do it for Pesach?
Oh, so hang on to that thought for 1 second. It's a very good question. We'll get to that in a second. But before we get there, I just want to come back just to tie up the loose ends. So what's the pshat in the Rambam? Again, we got a machlokas, the Rambam and the Ravid. What's the pshat by Mariko Shtifa? The timing, when do you do the Mariko Shtifa? Do you do it before it becomes Noser or after you become Noser? The rabbi says, of course you have to do it after it becomes Noser. Otherwise, what does it mean? You come to the rabbi, you ask him a shayla. Rabbi, how do I kasher a kosher pot? It's a ridiculous question, says the rabbi. So how do you say Mariko Shtifa before? Says the Rambam, no! The point of the Mariko Shtifa is to make sure that the blias do not become Noser. Therefore, says the Rambam, you have to make sure the timing of the Mariko Shtifa is before the end of this manachila. And therefore, the Rambam Lishitaso explains our Pchayim. The Rambam Lishitaso also believes that a kli cheres you are able to do a kashering process on. Why? Based on the whole explanation of the Ran.
Take the whole thing out.
Because you don't have to take the whole thing out. Right now it's a terabella. And as long as I take 99% of the blia out now, that's good enough. There's going to be a 1% blia left in the pot after the Zman Isser Noser sets in. Doesn't make a difference. If I only have a 1% blia left in the pot, and when it started it was only a terabella, so an Isser cannot set in on a 1% blia that's left in the pot. The same way the Ran said, is the way Reb Chaim wants to explain the Rambam Lishitasa, why the Rambam says that a klicheris in fact is able to be kashered and you don't have to break it. Yeah. What?
Kashered only by kosher.
Both.
For anything.
But if it was only by kachim, correct. Sorry, so I used the wrong word. Okay, could be. So now we come to the million-dollar question of Chametz v'Pesach. So now I have my kelim throughout the year, I have my barbecue grill, and instead of only barbecuing a steak on it, I decided to barbecue my bread on it, my sandwich, my steak sandwich, I put the whole thing on the grill. So now I want to kasher for Pesach. So what would he say? Does that need to be kashered with Hagala or kashered with Libun? So what are you going to say? Kabbalah Kach Bolta, what's the Shaila? If the whole Bliya went in through the fire, so the only way to take it out is through the fire. So the Machlokes HaRishonim goes as follows. Tosis and the Ramban have a Machlokes. What is the status of Chametz BePesach before Pesach? Hetera, right? Tosis says, what do you mean? There's no Isser for me to eat Chametz today. The Isser for me to eat Chametz is on Tezvav Nisan. So right now when I'm cooking on my barbecue grill and I put a piece of bread on there, do you call that Isura Bala? Says Tosis, no, that's Hetera Bala. So now when it comes to Erev Pesach and I want to kasher my barbecue grill to use it on Pesach, what kind of kashering method do I have to use? Says Tosis, Hagalah. Hagalah is good enough. Why? Because Hagalah will take out 99% of the blias. There's going to be 1% of the blia left, and it's chametz sticks, so how can you use it? And chametz b'mashu, what are you going to do? No! Says Tosis, because you cannot create an iser on a tam kolish. You can't create a new iser on just the 1% blia that's left in the barbecue grill. So Tosis says, nothing to worry about, do hagalah. The Ramban disagrees. The Ramban says, no! Chametz kal hashana shmo olav. Yes, chametz is not usher for me right now, but the whole year long we call this chametz. So says the Ramban, for all intents and purposes, I'm going to call this Isura Bala. The Ramban disagrees with Tosis and he says, no, when you have a barbecue grill and you want to kasher it for Pesach, since Chametz Kal Hashana, Shmo Olav, we consider it Chametz all the year long. It only becomes Usur at the time when Pesach sets in, says the Ramban, doesn't matter. It's called Chametz, and since it's called Chametz all year long, we would assume that is the status of Isura Bala and it would need Libun. It wouldn't be good enough with Hagala. 1 second. Okay.
That you can't, there's certain kabbalas cannot be made chametz also.
Right.
So even though there's this theory of chametz.
We have such a concept.
The theory does exist all year round.
Correct.
In terms of a regular person, but the theory exists in terms of kabbalas.
Good.
So maybe that's part of the idea of why it's also all year round also.
Could be.
But chametz and mashu before Pesach would be what?
Correct.
So Erev Pesach.
Yeah.
The mashu of chametz is not this.
Right. But now Pesach comes in. Now I want to use the grill on Pesach itself. And it's still...
But it was already bottled on Erev Pesach when it was down to that mashu.
What do you mean it was bottled? Now it's Pesach itself. Now I want to use the barbecue grill. And there's a 1% blia left in there. Right. But I wasn't mevatelin in anything. Right? You're right. If Chametz Mashu falls in on Erev Pesach into a soup, so anachanami. But over here we're talking on Pesach itself. I never got rid of that 1% blia. I only did Hagala. Says Tosis, it doesn't matter because Chametz is Hetera Bala. Says the Ramban, no, Chametz is called Chametz. Maybe like you're saying, because we have a concept of Chametz all the year in the Beis HaMikdash. Whatever the reason is.
So Tosis says, Tosos would hold that I only have to clean 90% of my house? Because 10% is too little, it doesn't matter? How does that work?
No, we're talking about insignificant blias in a pot. So he says, when you have insignificant blias in a pot, you can't have a chalos shem iser on that very insignificant. Yeah. So this is the famous machlokes Tosfos and the Ramban, and the reason why we gave the whole introduction to the shir is just that we should appreciate what is the machlokes Tosfos and the Ramban and think about the nafkaminas. Tremendous nafkaminas. Nafkamina is when I have the barbecue grill. How do I kosher it for Pesach? Do I have to go ahead and do a libun and make myself crazy? Or do you say, no, just put it into a pot of boiling hot water. You say, Hagala is good enough. Why? Because it's a terabala. This is the machlokes. How do we paskin? So the Mechaber has in Siman Tufna Aleph that we're machmir, of course. Yeah? So Pesach, we're machmir.
I can put the grills into a self-cleaning oven at the same time.
Okay. Sounds good. Not everybody has a self-cleaning oven.
Everybody.
Okay.
So, if you do the same thing with the same thing with the barbecue grill, turn on the fire, close the lid.
It's for cars.
Yes, so it's a shadow. So
you leave it burning for 10-15 minutes.
A long time, and it gets everything out. Okay. So the Shulchan Aruch says you have to be machmer like the Ramban and Shah Rishonim, not like Tosfos. And we have to assume that chametz kol hashana shmo olav. Chametz is called isurabala, even though it's a chiddush. It's hard to understand. I would have said Tosfos makes a lot of sense. Haterabala the whole year. I wouldn't call that iser. So the Shulchan Aruch says the maskana halacha lemaisa is that we should hold like the Ramban.
It's called chametz
the whole year, and therefore you have to go ahead and do liban on it also. The problem is the Shulchan Aruch is soser himself. In other halachas, we don't have time to get into it. But in other places in Hilchos Pesach, the Mechaber seems to be soser himself. It's not clear whether he holds halacha l'maaseh like Tosfos or like the Ramban. It's a very inyan musubach, but this is basically the machlokes Tosfos and the Ramban, and it puts it into a context when you think about Mariko Shtifa, and you think about the Rambam and the Ravid, and when you're supposed to do the kashering, and how you're supposed to do it, that puts all this machlokes, the Ramban and Tosfos, into context. Just to leave off with one beautiful vart that anyone could say at their Seder. Number vav. I don't know how many more shiurim we have before Pesach, so we got to make sure to just give a couple of vignettes that we can use for the Seder. So here's a beautiful insight. You can read it or you can listen Baal Peh, where Rav Asher Weiss once told me the following. He said that in Yerushalayim, the old-timers in Yerushalayim say over the following mashal. There was a grandfather who was together with his grandson on Leil HaSeder, and he's telling him all about the great miracles of Kriyas Yamsuf, and he's telling him how amazing it was, how Kodesh Baruch Hu split the Yam. And the grandchild naively asks his grandfather, I don't understand. Didn't God create the world? Didn't God create the Yam Suf? So he can split it. What's the big deal? What's the Chiddush? If he created the Yam Suf, he can split it too. Why are you getting so... Why are you hopping such a spider over the fact that he split it? Yeah. So the grandfather told him the following mashal. Grandfather is like this. He says there was once an artist, a sculptor, and he's working weeks and months to try to create a beautiful horse. And finally, after he's finished creating the whole horse, he's talking to his family and he's trying to figure out, how am I going to get the highest bidder on this horse that I made? It's a beautiful piece of art. So the family tells him, you know what you should do? Go in the middle of Broadway, go onto Wall Street, drop it off right before rush hour, and then you'll stand on the side as everyone's running to work and they're going to stop and look at it and they're going to talk, oh, how much does it cost? Then you'll hike up the prices and you'll start discussing it with everybody until you get the highest bidder. So that's what he does. He goes 5 o'clock in the morning to Wall Street, drops it off right in the middle of the street, and lo and behold, he comes to the next day. Not a single person even stops to look at it. So he says, you know what? Maybe the problem is everyone's rushing to work. Their minds are too busy thinking about their meetings they have for today. He'll wait till lunchtime. Everyone goes out to lunch. Not a single person stops to look at it. So he says, I don't know. Maybe everyone's hungry. He's going to wait till dinner. Finally, everyone leaves the office. Dinner time, goes on the train. Not a single person looks. He comes home. He's depressed. He can't believe it. I don't understand. I'm obviously not such a good artist. Look, nobody even stopped to look at what I did. How could it be? So he's talking to his family. What did he do wrong? Till his wife finally tells him, you know what the problem is? You did such a good job, it looks real. So there's nothing to look at. You see a horse in the middle of the street, you're going to turn around? What are you turning around for? There's nothing to see. So he says, so what should I do? I should be a bad artist? I should make a horse that doesn't look real? That's not a good idea. But if I do too good of a job, then it looks real. So what should we do? So his wife said, I have an eitz. Split the horse in half, and you put the two halves on the two sides of the street. And people will realize, hey, it looks like a real horse, but it can't be. How's it in half? And then they're going to appreciate the godliness of your work. Then they'll realize how amazing your artistry actually is. So that's what he did. So explain the grandfather to his grandchild, yes, we talk about Kriyas Yamsuf, and you're going to say, why am I so nispal by Kriyas Yamsuf? HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Yam. What's so amazing about Kriyas Yamsuf? The answer is, yes, in a perfect world, we're supposed to appreciate everything as is. But very often we get used to things and we don't. And the only way for us to gain an appreciation is for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take our lives and stop them in the middle. He has to split the Yom Suf in order for us to realize the greatness of the Yom Suf all year long only comes when we come once a year and we remind ourselves, look what a great miracle HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. He split the horse in half. Now you see what a great artist HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, Kaveh Yochel. And sometimes we have that also in our own lives. It's not until life is almost taken away from someone that they begin to appreciate everything they have. They begin to realize all the brachas, all the blessings, all the miracles that they're blessed with all the time. Only at times when they're about to lose life, that's when they appreciate how great life actually is. So Rav Asher Weiss just added on his own a beautiful insight, and that is that perhaps this is the pshat la'asadavu we're told in Nevuah. Umala ha'aretz deyas Hashem, la'asadavu we're going to have such an obvious gilui shechina, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to be such a presence, kemayim layam mechasim. What does it mean? So Rav Asher explained, maybe what it means is, la'asadavu there's going to be such an obvious gilui shechina, we're not going to need the splitting of the Yam Suf. We're not going to need things to be split in order to appreciate them. We're just going to appreciate things as is. Kamayim liyam lechasim. We're going to appreciate the water, the yam, as is, as it's covering over the depths of the ocean. That's already going to be enough for us to appreciate the godless of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechina in this world. We're not going to need miracles any longer to push us to appreciate everything that He has. So this is a beautiful insight to think about. You know, the great miracles of Kriyas Yamsev, the great miracles of Pesach. Just thought it was something I would share. Wish everyone a...